Yiddy Badad Hari. Yasodanandana Brajajana Ranjana. Yasodanandana Brajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tida Banachari. Yamuna Tida Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabihari. Gopi Jana Balaba Giri Badadhari. Yasodanandana Brajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tida Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabihari. Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravatakacharya Sthokta Nisata Shishimada Divine Grace Asi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki ISKCON BBD Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Granthiraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 9, text 37. Tubhyam mal vichityayam. Tubhyam mam vichitkichayam. Atma me darshito bahi. Atma me darshito bahi. Nalena salile mulam. Nalena salile mulam. Pushkarasya vichinvata. Pushkarasya vichinvata. Tubhyam mad vichikitsayam. Atma me darshito bahi. Nalena salile mulam. Pushkarasya vichinvataha.
Vaishnavis. Tuvyam unto you, mat me, vichiktiksayam, on your trying to know, atma, self, me, of myself, darshitaha, exhibited, abahi, from within, milena, through the stem, salile, in the water, mulam, root, pushkarasya, of the lotus, the primeval source, vichinvataha, contemplating, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This is Lord Garbhadakshaya Vishnu speaking. When you were contemplating whether there was a source to the stem of the lotus of your birth, and you even entered into that stem, you could not trace out anything. But at that time, I manifested my form from within. Purport. The personality of Godhead can be experienced only by His causeless mercy, not by mental speculation or with the help of the material senses. Material senses cannot approach the transcendental understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can be appreciated only by submissive devotional service when He reveals Himself before the devotee. Only by love of Godhead can one know God, and not otherwise. The personality of Godhead cannot be seen with the material eyes, but He can be seen from within by spiritual eyes opened by the ointment of love of Godhead. As long as one's spiritual eyes are closed due to the dirty covering of matter, one cannot see the Lord. But when the dirt is removed by the process of devotional service, one can see the Lord without a doubt. Brahma's personal endeavor to see the root of the lotus pipe failed. But when the Lord was satisfied by His penance and devotion, He revealed Himself from within with no external endeavor. Om Aginata Mirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshudun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gudave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. So this chapter is entitled Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy. And at this point in the chapter, we've already heard those. That's past. And now what we're hearing is Lord Garbhadakshaya Vishnu's response to Lord Brahma's prayers. And in this translation, Lord Vishnu, I'll refer to him as Lord Vishnu from this point onwards, is pointing out to Lord Brahma, from his statement we could understand that he heard Lord Brahma's prayers and he was aware of what was going on entirely Lord Brahma's situation before he offered the prayers. And he's specifically bringing attention to the point that Lord Brahma, initially, in his attempt to understand Garbhadakshaya Vishnu's situation, was unsuccessful. And he's pointing out that he entered into the stem of the lotus, but could not trace out anything. And Lord Vishnu says, at that time, I manifested my form from within. So, as Jhutakarmapu pointed out several classes back, the Bhagavatam is a conversation within a conversation within a conversation. Actually, I did a little bit of meditating on it this morning. It's actually, this is a conversation. You could say it's a conversation. It's a short conversation, but it's a conversation between Lord Brahma and Lord Vishnu. Lord Brahma is offering prayers, and Lord Vishnu responds. So let's call it a conversation. And it's being presented to us within a much bigger conversation that's taking place between Maitreya Muni and Vidura. Vidura has been inquiring from Maitreya Muni on different subject matters after being directed to him by Uddhava. Vidura was on pilgrimage, as we remember, and he was fortunate enough to stumble, run into Uddhava, and he inquired from Uddhava about transcendental subject matters. Uddhava was on his way to Bhadarika Ashram. He was instructed to go there by Krishna himself before Krishna departed. And so Uddhava and Vidura had some exchange. And then at some point, Uddhava told Vidura that he should inquire for further inquiries, for his responses to further questions of his, he should approach Maitreya, who happened to be in the vicinity. And the reason was that Uddhava was aware that Maitreya was senior to him in age and closer to Vidura in age. And he just, and also he was on his way to Bhadarika Ashram, and he kind of wanted to get going. And so he directed him to Maitreya. So now Vidura is speaking with Maitreya, and he's already he's asked a lot of questions. And then at one point, I can't remember the question Vidura asked, but Maitreya, in response to his question, described how he said, "Now I'm going to explain to you the Bhagavatam." You know, Maitreya presents like this: "I'm going to now speak to you to the Bhagavatam." So one might say, well, wait a second, what we're hearing up till this point? Well, it's also Bhagavatam, but anyway, that was what Maitreya said. And at that point, Maitreya gave us background information as to how he happened to be privileged to have the knowledge of the Bhagavatam. Maitreya explained that he's in a lineage, he's in a different disciplic succession, which began with Sanat Kumara, and his brothers, and he describes how at some point in time they approached Lord Sankarshan, who was resting on the Garbhadak ocean and with his eyes half closed, and they inquired from him, and they were instructed by Garbhadak Shai Vishnu. Subsequently, the Sanat Kumar, he instructed Sankhyayana Muni, who then instructed both Parashara and Brihaspati simultaneously. Parashara, who is actually the spiritual master of Maitreya, he was directed by another sage, Pulastya, to instruct Maitreya Muni, which he did. So that's how we're leading up to what we're hearing about now. So Maitreya Muni, after describing his lineage to Vidura, began to explain what was going on in the universe. He started to describe to Vidura how Garbhadak Shai Vishnu was lying on the Garbhadak ocean in sort of like a mystic slumber, his eyes half closed. And the living entities, this was at the end of a day of Brahma, I believe, because the living entities were there, and they were kind of like, what's the word? Desiring to get active again. It's the energy is referred to as Kala Shakti, due to the force, the influence of Kala Shakti. They were desiring to get active again. And then as a result of that, a a stem budded, you know, from the body of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. That was the origin of the lotus. That it was kind of, there was some kind of relationship there between the desires of the living entities, the conditioned souls who were at that point dormant in their subtle bodies within the body of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and desirous to engage in fruitive activities again. And that was a big part of the reason why that lotus emanated from the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And then Lord Brahma was also came into being at that point. So that's described there. And then it's described how when Lord Brahma became aware of his situation, of his own existence, he was on top of the lotus flower, and it's mentioned that he didn't understand who he was, where he was, or what he was supposed to do. He was like bewildered at that point. And he was trying to understand, well, what do I do? So he realized, okay, I'm on a lotus flower. Let me go down and see where this is coming from. So he tried that. And it's described he went down into the Garbhodaka ocean to try to get some understanding about, you know, what's going on here? Where is this thing coming from? What's my origin? But he was unsuccessful. And he returned to the top of the lotus flower, and he decided, since that was a failure, that as mentioned in today's purport, his personal endeavor to see the root of the lotus pipe failed. But when Lord Brahma was satisfied by his penance and devotion, he revealed himself. So after his first failed attempt, he decided to enter into meditation, prayer, you know, penance, like that. And he heard the words tapa. It doesn't mention that in the second canto. But then he did that for a long time. It's actually stated that he did it for 100 years, which is of his time. And then he, at that point, Krishna, Lord Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Lord Vishnu revealed to him. And that's mentioned in today's verse. It's stated by Lord Vishnu. He says, but at that time, I manifested my form from within. And that's referring to verse 22 of the previous chapter, wherein it said, at the end of Brahma's 100 years, so Lord Brahma was meditating for a long time. He was performing that penance for a long time. When his meditation was complete, he developed the required knowledge. And as a result, he could see in his heart the Supreme within himself, whom he could not see before with the greatest endeavor. So an important point there is that he's seeing the Supreme, Lord Vishnu, within his heart. So he's, you know, he's doing his meditation, and when it was complete, he's been awarded a transcendental realization. You know, it's not like he was meditating, and then he opened his eyes and, wow, far out. No, he's in trance. And he's been awarded transcendental realization, which is enabling him to understand the transcendental form of Lord Vishnu, which he describes in his prayers, and also the overall transcendental situation that Lord Vishnu is situated in. And that's described in his prayers. So once again, it's within his heart. He's experiencing this within meditation. And this is an important thing to understand a little something about. He hasn't fallen asleep. He's not dreaming. There's a big difference between closing your eyes and falling asleep and dreaming, right? And closing your eyes and meditating and being blessed with or awarded a transcendental realization. We can understand something about that from the Bhagavad Gita, about this state of, it's called sometimes in Sanskrit, it's referred to as samadhi or trance, and Lord Krishna says something about it in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text 20 through 23. He gives some description, and it goes, in that stage of perfection called trance or samadhi. So this is what what we're going to hear now is what Lord Brahma was experiencing, some of the aspects of his, that experience he was having. One's mind is completely restrained from material mental activities by practice of yoga. Okay, so we can understand that Lord Brahma's mind was experiencing that. This perfection is characterized by one's ability to see the self, that's a capital S, okay, by the pure mind, and to relish and rejoice in the self, capital S, okay? So the person in, who's in this state of samadhi is experiencing directly with these, directly experiencing the Supreme Lord. Goes on, in that joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness. So it's accompanied by boundless transcendental happiness. You know, you're having this transcendental understanding, and simultaneously you're experiencing boundless transcendental happiness. And this next phrase is really significant. It says, realized through transcendental senses. Okay. So actually we all have transcendental senses. Our senses are originally transcendental. It's not like when you become a pure devotee, you get a new set of senses. It's the same senses. Our senses are originally transcendental, but when, as due to misuse of free will, when we come in when our senses, which is kind of us, when we come in contact with the material energy, the modes of passion and ignorance, they become contaminated and they don't function in the same way. So when one, as a result of engaging in devotional service, is able to purify those senses, then they are able to be function again as transcendental senses, and one experiences transcendental knowledge and transcendental bliss, is kind of being described in this verse here. You know? So it goes on to say, established thus, one never departs from the truth, and upon gaining this, he thinks there is no greater gain. Being situated in such a position, one is never shaken, even in the midst of the greatest difficulty. This indeed is actual freedom from all miseries arising from material contact. So all this knowledge was awarded to Lord Brahma when he by Lord Vishnu. It was a reciprocation with his sincere efforts to understand him. You know, he performed the penance and devotion like that, and actually, and then he offered those prayers. But the entire, you know, the entire description of Garbhadakshay Vishnu and his situation was something that Lord Brahma was experiencing in that state of samadhi. So I reread that section, you know, the previous chapter carefully, and there was no mention of him, as I said, coming out of the trance, you know, and then looking around and just seeing everything. No, he was experiencing that from within. Now, somebody might say, ooh, that's kind of, how did he understand all that stuff, you know, with his eyes closed? And well, that's the Bhagavatam. You know, sometimes Bhagavatam is referred to as Samadhi Bhashya. Bhashya means commentary, and Samadhi is what we just we're learning about, trance, commentary. This is like a very basic principle of Krishna consciousness, transcendental Krishna consciousness. Actually, Vyasadeva, if you remember back in the first canto, when Narada Muni came to instruct him, you know, because Vyasadeva was feeling a little bit like, I don't know, I'm not completely satisfied. I did this, I did the Mahabharata, I did the Vedas, I did the Puranas. You know, he produced so many Vedic literatures, but he was kind of feeling like something's, and he kind of knew what it was. He had a idea himself that what was the problem. And sure enough, what happens, his spiritual master, Narada Muni, appeared on the scene and confirmed that, yeah, you're right. You've neglected to directly glorify the Supreme Lord. And that's why you're not feeling completely satisfied. So you should do that now. And he told him how to do it. He said, now meditate in trance on the pastimes of the Lord and then describe them. So the whole Bhagavatam is a is coming to us from Vyasadeva, who was meditating in trance in samadhi on the instruction of his spiritual master, and everything was revealed to him, just like that. Everything is being revealed to Lord Brahma here by Lord Vishnu. In the same way, everything was revealed to Vyasadeva, and that's the Bhagavatam. You see, so That's a kind of an important point. And that revelation took place because these they were purified souls. And explained here in the last sentence of the purport, when the Lord is satisfied by one's penance and devotion, he reveals himself with no external endeavor. So we have to be striving for that. You know, we have to be striving to qualify ourselves to be eligible, to be awarded this revelation by the Lord from within the heart. That's, and in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about this in those two famous verses, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam didami buddhiyogam tam yenamam upiyantite tesham eva anukampartam aham agyana jam tamaha nasyami atmabhavashto gyana dipena bhashvata. That Krishna says that to those who are constantly devoted, worship me with love, I give them the, who are performing penances with devotion, same thing, I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. He says, out of compassion for them, I who am dwelling within their heart, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. It's basically the same thing. Krishna reveals. Krishna enlightens from within and he reveals himself. He reveals himself. He reveals transcendental knowledge, everything. That's the process. So, so we have to try to follow in the footsteps of Lord Brahma, and as he did, he gave up the personal endeavor. His first attempt was that personal endeavor. He went down, tried to go down into the lowest lotus stem and figure out his origin like that. But then he realized, no, this is not going to work. So he went into penance, ta-pa, which he heard those syllables and he understood that meant to do the meditation and perform the penance. And as a result of that, Lord Vishnu revealed himself. So in the same way, we have to perform the penance. And so what for us, what is penance? Well, in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada gives a definition of penance. I didn't have a chance to look it up, but he explains that penance is like the strictly trying to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. That's our penance. See? Previously penance might have been like submerging yourself in freezing cold water up to the neck or being in a ring of fire. No, that's not our program. Prabhupada explained in that second canto that our penance is to try to strictly follow the instruction of the spiritual master. And if you're doing that, you're performing penance and you're on track, for becoming qualified to being awarded this transcendental realization, similar to Lord Brahma. And so we have to analyze and ask, okay, well, so what are the instructions? We all know most of the instructions, to chant attentively and avoid the 10 offenses and, attend the program, et cetera, et cetera. One particular instruction that I'd like to draw everybody's attention to, because it's that time of year again, is Prabhupada's instruction to distribute his books. That's also an instruction of the spiritual master. In the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, there's two interesting passages here. And the point that I'm going to attempt to make here is that as devotees, we have to be interested in more than just our own spiritual elevation. Archita quoted this little passage here a few classes ago. This is from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 27. Prabhupada talks about meditation. He says, nowadays people are very much inclined to the meditational process, which is not practical in this age, but if anyone practices meditating on Krishna 24 hours a day by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra around his beads, he is surely the greatest meditator and the greatest yogi, as substantiated by the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada's referring to that verse, Yoginam Api Sarvesham. So, okay, so that's penance. For us, penance is chanting on our beads, around the beads, whenever possible, 16 rounds minimum, and then as much beyond that as you can. That's for us. But then in a previous purport chapter, text number 25, that same chapter, Prabhupada says, the Krishna conscious movement is therefore distributing sublime information to the entire human society to the effect that simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one can become perfect in this life and go back home, back to Godhead. See? So that's part of it too. Notice we're supposed to chant ourselves, but from this sentence we can understand that we're part of the Krishna conscious movement. So Prabhupada says the Krishna conscious movement is therefore distributing sublime information to the entire human society. So we have to get on board with that. We have to become part of that program to distribute this sublime information to human society, that simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one can become perfect this life and go back home, back to Godhead. So, well, how do we do that? Well, there's different ways to do it. I mean, you could do it by going out on Harinam, for sure. You could do it by just, when you meet people, telling them like that. But you could also do it, and I think this was Prabhupada's idea, you could also do it by distributing his books. Because his books are just loaded with information about, why we should chant Hare Krishna, the importance of it, the entire philosophy, behind the whole thing. And if somebody gets one of Prabhupada's books and reads it, if they're fortunate, they will get inspired to take up this way of life, to take up this philosophy and chant Hare Krishna. So that's, I think, our first and foremost program to do what Prabhupada is saying here in this sentence. The Krishna conscious movement is therefore distributing sublime information to the entire human society to the effect that simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one can become perfect in this life and go back home, back to Godhead. And to support that statement I just made, I'd like to read a paragraph. This is from the 10th canto. It's the prayers of the demigods to Lord Krishna within the womb. And in a purport to one of the verses, Prabhupada included this particular paragraph, and it supports this point I was just trying to make. It goes like this. Prabhupada says, the word kriyashu, meaning by manual labor or by work, is important in this verse. One should engage in practical service to the Lord. And now he's talking, this is in our Krishna consciousness movement. We're here, like the Krishna consciousness movement. All our activities are concentrated upon distributing Krishna literature. This is very important. Why? Because it's the way to get that information to people that simply by chanting Hare Krishna, they can go back home, back to Godhead. This is Prabhupada's plan. This is the way to do it. See, so that's why all our activities in the Krishna conscious movement are concentrated upon distributing Krishna literature. And then Prabhupada says, this is very important. And he goes on to say, one may approach any person and induce him to read Krishna literature so that in the future he may also become a devotee. So you have a license. You're never a nuisance or a pest. Sometimes when you're approaching total strangers, people can make you feel like that you're just bothering us, stop bothering us. But no, we are authorized by Prabhupada, who's authorized by Lord Chaitanya, who's authorized by Lord Krishna to approach anyone and induce them to read Krishna literature. So not only are you not a nuisance or a pest out there, you're the most relevant, authorized person out there. You're the only, because everything else is just a waste of time. This is what's really important, that approaching that person and trying to induce him to read Krishna literature. Prabhupada goes on to say, such activities are recommended in this verse. Kriyashu yach twach charanara vindayo. Such activities will always remind the devotees of the Lord's lotus feet. So somebody might be thinking, okay, I'll do it, but I'm afraid I'm going to fall into Maya. There's so much nonsense out there. I'll do it, but it's at the expense of my Krishna consciousness. I know I'm not going to be able to remember Krishna the way I can when I'm in the temple, in the kirtan, or, you know, whatever. No, that's not our philosophy. According to Prabhupada here, Prabhupada says that such activities, the activity of trying to, you know, get somebody else to involved in devotional service, that activity will always remind the devotee of the Lord's lotus feet. See? So if we shouldn't think like that, that I'm going to go out on Sankirtan and I'm going to get covered over. No. You're going to go out on Sankirtan and you're going to get enlightened. You know, Lord Chaitanya says, Anandam Buddhibardhanam Padipadam Pudamitas Sarvatma Snapanam Pudamvajaya. It's the life of transcendental knowledge. The opposite is the truth. The opposite is really what happens. If you it's like getting into the shower in the morning, you know? At least for me, it's 50 years now, but I experienced the same thing because I take a cold shower. So before going in there, my mind's going, no, no, don't do this. Not anymore. Stop. It's just like trying to not. But then once you do it, it's like, oh, I'm glad I did that. It was invigorating. Like, you know, diving in the pool or something like that. It's, you know, so it's like that. Before you actually get out and do it, you're feeling like, no, no. And even 50 years after starting Sankirtan, still, the first few minutes or before I actually get out of the car, my mind is trying to tell me, take a nap, eat something, drive away. This is not a good spot, you know. And you just have to say, I'm sorry. And you just get up, get out, and start approaching the people. As I said, it's just like diving in the pool, you know. Once you do it, you feel like, ah, that was, I'm so glad I did that. That's what happens, because it's transcendental. Don't let your mind cheat you out of this great opportunity to experience a lot of bliss and ecstasy in Krishna consciousness. It's really an amazing experience. Bhakti Kir, correct? He's our newest Bhakta Sankirtan, full-time Sankirtan devotee, and he's just experienced what I'm describing within the last month or so, correct? Okay, thank you. So then Prabhupada goes on to say, to further elaborate upon that same point, the point being that that activity of trying to give Krishna consciousness to others will always remind the devotee of the Lord's lotus feet. Prabhupada says, by fully concentrating on distributing books for Krishna, one is fully absorbed in Krishna. This is samadhi. We heard something earlier in the class about samadhi. So this is the way to get in samadhi, to, you know, be blessed, awarded that transcendental realization, which is, you know, accompanied by transcendental knowledge and boundless transcendental happiness. This is the way to do it, by fully concentrating on distributing books for Krishna. You'll be fully absorbed in Krishna, and that's samadhi, and that's the perfection. That's the perfection of life. So, yeah, it's a great opportunity, and it's right around the corner now. You know, our temple president this morning was encouraging everybody. We have World Enlightenment Day, and he was saying everybody should go out and distribute at least one Bhagavad Gita. He's like the good cop. You know, they have that thing, the police. The good cop, I'm the bad cop. He's telling you, go out and just that one day and distribute one Bhagavad Gita, and I'm going to be the bad cop, and I'm going to say, no, you should go out if you can. Go out every day. Go out every day and distribute 100 Bhagavad Gitas. He won't be upset. And he, you know, he didn't spell it out, but, you know, if you read between the lines what he was saying, we're not worried about the Lakshmi, you know? We're not. We, you know, we have this program here. We're getting a lot of donations. A lot of our congregation are sponsoring books. There's a lot of these books are already paid for. Basically, what we have to do is just go out there, meet people, and as Prabhupada said in this thing, try to induce them to take Krishna literature. That's all we have to do. And if they're willing to accept it, we give it to them. And if they're willing to give a donation, all the better. That's the icing on the cake. That's the cherry on top. And if they don't, that's okay. We'll give them a book. We'll give them a Bhagavad Gita or some small, you know, literature like that. No problem. So really, we just have to, you know, get ourselves ready to just go out there and meet the people. And the austerity is just overcoming our own, like, mind and false ego. I mean, what is the austerity of book distribution, especially here in California? It's not cold. Generally speaking, it's warm, it's sunny, so that's not a factor. other places, that is a factor. But we have warm, sunny weather. We got like a lot of people. And the only thing is that fear of kind of feeling embarrassed, humiliated, rejected. And that is, you know, that's for real. But I'd just like to share with everybody the way I deal with that, because, you know, I got just a plain old human mind like everybody else. I don't like being rejected. I don't like feeling embarrassed or humiliated. So the way I get around that is I start off, say I'll give you a hypothetical scenario. I'm on a parking lot, let's say, okay, a Walmart or a Target parking lot, and I'm walking up to somebody. I always start off with a compliment and a joke. And I'll tell you the exact compliment and joke I use. You don't have to use this. It might not be appropriate for you. But the principle is the same. The principle is compliment and joke. And this is actually parampara, because Prabhupada said, quoting Prabodhananda Saraswati, that the way to preach is flatter them like anything. So what I do, I have a hat, okay, and I wear it on purpose. So I'm walking up to the person, and I just, if they, you know, don't have a hat on themselves, I say, sir or madam, I really like your hairstyle, you know. I really like your hairstyle. And they look, because it's a compliment. You know, people like getting complimented. So they look over, but it's not enough. It kind of starts to get my foot in the door. But then I go, I have my hat on, okay, and I go, I really wish I could do that. And I pull my hat off, and I make a face like, look at this, you know. So as I compliment them, and I make a joke about myself, and it works. Practically, I mean, I'd say about like, I don't know, seven, eight times out of 10, I get a smile and a laugh. So, boom, you're at first base. You're in the door, you see? But if I just walk up to them cold and say, excuse me, you don't work here, right? You're just shopping? That works about like 2-3 times out of 10. Mostly they just blow right by you because you haven't done anything for them, you know? You're asking for service. But when you give somebody a compliment and tell them a joke, you're giving them service. You're serving their subtle, you know, false ego or whatever. You're serving them, and they like it. So that's how I get around it. So if you try that, hopefully everybody will try to go out on book distribution. It's not that big a deal. You know, I mean, yesterday morning I was giving a Zoom class to the devotees in Atlanta, the Krishna Life program, and they're all going out. You know, the whole temple goes out. I mean, led by Mahotsa, you know, who's like the super distributor. But all these other devotees, they're all going out, and they're all doing pretty good. And they're just new devotees. So it's not like you have to be some, you know, elevated, topmost Paramahamsa transcendentalist. It's actually Prabhupada was wanting everybody to get out there. So we should try it. And if you try it and try that, try what I just suggested to you, you'll get into it. It'll work. You'll figure out your own exact line. You might not want to use that exact same line I used, but the principle is there. Flattery, jokes, and then you basically, just hand them the book, say one thing about it, just, you know, one thing about it that might interest them, and then just say, we don't sell the books. A lot of times people like to give a donation. It helps us print more. If you could pitch in something, that would be great. Real, you know, nonchalant, no pressure like that. Try to do it. The whole thing, conduct the whole thing so that it's real sweet, you know, so they really feel like they like you. You know, try to be as charming as you can, basically. And then just whatever happens, happens. You know, you've done your service. Whether they are willing to accept the book and give a donation, or just accept the book, or reject the whole thing, you've done your service. You're done by doing what I just said. You're fully concentrating on distributing books for Krishna. And if you're fully absorbed in Krishna, you're on track for samadhi. So for us, it's a total win-win activity. We win if they take the books. We win if they don't take the books. You win just by going out on Sankirtan. You win. Just by going out on Sankirtan and putting in that energy to distribute the books, you are successful. And if on top of that, some books go out, which they will, you'll see, which they will, and some donate, that's even all the better. See, but for us, it's like a total win-win situation. And for them, it's an opportunity. It's the most important, actually, it's the most important moment in their life, meeting a devotee and getting the opportunity to get Prabhupada's books. You know, I mean, that's our philosophy, right? I mean, you know, we tend to gloss over it. But, I mean, I'd rather be a Hare Krishna devotee who's chanting Hare Krishna, reading Prabhupada's books, trying to engage in devotional service, then Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Elon Musk, who's that other guy? What, give me the other name.
I think I wrote some names down here, right? There's Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos.
What's the use? I mean, I'm sure they're great guys. You know, if you met them, you'd probably like them and everything. But, you know, they're multi-billionaires. But what's the use of that if you're not Krishna conscious? You're going to, time is going to go by. You're going to die. And then they, all they have to go, you know, take with them, none of that money, none of the fame, none of the prestige, none of that. Just reactions to their sinful activities. And unfortunately, this is Kali Yuga, people are just engaged in sinful activities left, right, and center. So there you have it. You know, like while you're alive, you're multi-billionaire and everybody's, you know, glorifying you and thinking you're so great. And then when you die, all that's gone and you just have the reactions to the activities that you performed, which are probably going to be bad, waste. You're better off, as I said, being a simple Hare Krishna devotee, chanting Hare Krishna, following the regular principles, eating prasadam, trying to go out on Sankirtan, and maybe feeling embarrassed sometime. Big deal, you know? Better, way better. That's a way better life than the most successful, best life in the material world. So anyway, I could stop there. Does anybody have any question? Sorry? Thank you. Sure. Yeah, 20,000. That's not a lot, you know. We could do it. Basically, I mean, right now I could tell everybody the program, aside from what I already said, just get the books, go someplace. Go someplace where there's people. That's a good idea. And then when you get there where there's people, walk up to the people and try that. Give them a compliment. Say a joke. Hand them the book. Tell them one thing about it, just one little thing about it, you know, and then ask for a donation in a very nonchalant way. And if you need ideas where to go, really just any parking lot. And you might get kicked off. Don't worry. Then just hop in your car and go to the next one. And something I do just to, you know, to kickstart you and make it easy, I use their shopping carts. When I show up at a Target or a Walmart, I take my books and I put it in the Target or the Walmart shopping cart and I just push it around like I'm a shopper. And the other shoppers, they think you're a shopper. So it works. And the security, they think you're shopping because you're in the cart there, you see. And it takes them a while to figure it out. They do figure it out after a while, and then you might be asked to leave. But usually I get away with it quite a few times before they kind of figure out, hey, this guy's using our carts to sell to our customers in our parking lot. Yeah, Archita. Prabhu.
For those who have hair and can't make the hat joke, there's another one that works quite easily. You just ask them, what do you do? And whatever they tell you, ask them, are you a good one? And they always laugh. Yeah. If they say they're a doctor or a student or a professor or a policeman, just ask them, are you a good one? And they just break down laughing. Hare Krishna.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, there's so many different lines. Krishna will reveal to you something that you feel comfortable with that suits your personality. But that's the principle. Jokes, compliments and jokes. Okay, anybody else? Anything? Thank you. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.